Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You may have heard we throw this midday party, the Midday Show with Rick and John, and it's true, but when we get to a Friday, well, we kind of sort of fart around even more than we do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So come along for the ride. It's a four-hour radio adventure with your boys Rick Kamla and John Michaels, ably aided by our boys Paul Bible and Mark Owens. They're behind the glass here in the Kia Studios. Johnny, my boy, good morning, dude. What's up?
Morning. How you guys doing today?
I'm chilling, man. I'm chilling. I'm ready to go. I've got studying to do. I've got a Trae Young research project.
Okay. I like when you put projects in front of us.
11 o'clock. 11 o'clock, John and I are going to debate. Point guard versus point guard. Who would you rather have versus Trae Young? Kyle Lowry, Kemba Walker, Steph Curry, Russell Westbrook, all of them. We're going to go through the entire NBA of point guards. Who would we rather have going forward than Trae Young? I believe, John, I haven't done the research yet, but I believe he's safely going to be in the top 10 of point guards that you would want going forward.
Top 10. I was thinking way more loftier expectations.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I would rather have Trae Young than Ben Simmons going forward.
Yeah, I would too.
So it's going to be like that. I can tell you right now, I would rather have Trae Young than John Wall going forward. So, and these are not hot takes, and this is not playing radio, and I'm not a Hawks homer, okay? I love the Hawks, but this is legit. Who would you rather have going forward, Trae Young or all these other point guards? Can't wait to dive into that at 11 o'clock.
I can't wait till we get off the air today. There's a tattoo convention right over at the Indigo Hotel. So when I leave here, I'm going to go see my guy Ben from Killer Ink Tattoo.
Nice.
Not getting re-inked. I'm just going over there, show support. They're going to be doing tattoos all weekend. And it's not just their group. It's everybody else will be there. And, you know, that's kind of my thing. And
I got a good idea for you. You just had a really cool tattoo of a shark on sort of the outside of your right forearm.
Yep.
How about a big old killer whale? Like
maybe over here?
Like ready to eat the shark that you just had tattooed.
Well, the problem is the shark takes up basically. No, this is daddy shark. It's not baby shark. The problem is the shark takes up basically from elbow to wrist. I really don't have a spot to put a killer whale.
Yeah, you do. You got a tattoo right there above your elbow that the killer whale could. Oh, sorry. Sorry.
No, well, he could get. It's not Hassan Whiteside. I don't want that tattoo to go away. I want to keep this one.
By the way, hanging out with John and meeting a lot of people, going out and doing our thing. A lot of people noticed that tattoo on your right bicep.
Yeah, it's kind of huge.
Of a team from South Florida.
Yeah.
It is quite the conversation generator, isn't it?
Yeah, it was even the conversation generator with Travis Schlenk when he saw it. When we were at the reveal of State Farm Arena when we were going on the construction tour, he goes, because I was trying to cover it, he goes, don't worry about it. I used to work there too. I didn't know that. He was like, yeah, it's a great organization. I had a lot of fun down there.
John's got a Heat tattoo on his right bicep, and it's well done, by the way.
Yeah, it was.
It's like a perfect likeness of the Heat logo.
Ben, Killer Ink Tattoo.
Nice. Has he, like, done all the ink that you have?
No, he's redone a few of them that were not done as well from other places, but all the newer stuff, that's the only person I go see.
Dope.
So I'm
going to
go over there.
Ben.
Go see what's up with those guys. Say hello to them. Mark Owens and I had an interesting conversation this morning about a whole bunch of stuff, and I'm trying to remember the funniest part right at the end, Mark, and now I can't remember.
I don't know. We're not allowed to talk about it anymore.
Well, not that. That part we're not allowed to talk about, but what was something at the end that we were talking? Oh, Mark's trip to CVS. He goes, John, I was thinking about you. I stopped in CVS today, and you bought what?
I bought some self-tanner. I bought some bronzer.
I thought you were going to say you bought wet wipes.
No.
You make a trip to the can.
There were two reasons I thought of Johnny at CVS. Number one, I know he uses the bronzer. I thought he used like a self-tanner on a daily basis.
No,
got some events coming up and like, you know, spring training's on its way. And I saw a picture of myself recently. And now that I'm pretty much bicking my head, I'm white.
You're whatting your head?
Bicking.
Bic razor.
Oh, okay. All right.
And that. And the offset by my big old fake teeth, I'm about as white as a ghost. So I'm like, I just need to get some kind of base going before spring training starts and before baseball season starts. And I'm like, well, I know Johnny does this. So I brought like spray on self-tanner that I'm going to give it a shot. I was going to do it this morning, but I didn't want to look like an Oompa Loompa because there is a very fine line between having a glow and looking like Willy Wonka's minions.
The problem is I don't use that. I actually get like the copper tone sunscreen that has bronzer in it. So when I go out in the sun, I'm protected, but I get a nice golden brown tan. Mark just got the spray on stuff. Like, I think Wendy uses the bronzer like that.
Good. My selfie game is going to be on fleek this weekend.
I think you should have came in and just did like half and half, right down the middle.
Loser of the next bet. Half a selfie tan. Half face. You have to do the spray on.
Yeah,
tan.
But we're on TV every day. I'm not really cool with that. We're
not
on TV
every day. You're on Watch Tonight, TonightTheGame.com.
That's TV-ish.
No, it's not. People expect to see you on the webcams.
Yeah, but they also want to see the hand signals. Like when I do this.
Yeah, that means hang loose.
Yeah, it means I'm going to go work out with Roman Reigns.
And the other reason I thought of Johnny Michaels is I walked down like the fiber aisle because he's all about the wet wipes. And I'm like, I could use a good colon cleanse. I was like, wonder what are these fiber products will help flush you out.
Preacher man, too much information over here, right?
What? We're way too honest.
This is true. We are very transparent on the show.
Fiber pills and self-tanner. Who wants to party with me?
I mean, you guys get mad because I keep wet wipes in my mailbox. I call that self-preservation. I don't want to go in there with the little thin toilet paper that kind of cakes up inside your butt. No, I get stuff that you get a nice clean out.
Wow. I guess Emma's really preparing for this weekend.
Cakes up right up in
he's,
there.
He's got the bronzer and the colon cleanse. The colon he's got it working for him. That's what's up.
Sports world never stops. So if you missed anything, Rick and John are here to tell you what's up.
What's up, Holmes?
Oh, well, there were rumors flying last night that Antonio Brown had been traded or was real close to being traded to the Buffalo Bills. Your boy.
Yeah, my boy.
Your source, your inside scoop, Ian Rappaport, throwing crap against the wall, and this time it's just smearing off the side because it doesn't look like Antonio Brown is being traded to the Buffalo Bills.
No, it doesn't, John. So late last night, I went to bed rather early last night, 11:15, 11:30, something like that. That's early for me. And I saw the Antonio Brown of the Bills, and I was like, I'm going to bed. This is not true. If it is true, it is a terrible, terrible move for the Buffalo Bills. Could you see Antonio Brown working with a green Josh Allen?
No.
I love Josh Allen. I like him a lot. He's 2 years away from being a guy who's going to be a consistent NFL quarterback. You think Antonio Brown's going to be cool catching 60 balls the next 2 years?
No, and that's why the talk was Antonio Brown wouldn't show up in Buffalo or would even potentially retire before he'd go play in Buffalo. So I'm not mad at Antonio Brown for calling his shot on this one. No, I'm not going to the Buffalo Bills. Hell no, I'm not going to the Buffalo Bills. Why would you go there?
So I'm trying to – oh, here we go. Update. I'm trying to go back through Ian Rappaport's stupid Twitter feed. And let me just
say – and that's about all it says is
Let me just say this. I'm not saying – here's my breakdown of what Ian Rappaport did last night. I do believe, John, that he got some intel from a good source that Antonio Brown, Steelers, Bills was being talked about, okay? But – he threw crap against the wall early to be first, hoping that it stuck. And then this morning, and I heard this from John Fricke, the Buffalo Bills general manager came out and said, we're not trading for Antonio Brown. So, and he didn't throw Rappaport under the bus and all this kind of stuff. What this is a guy who is bloodthirsty and super desperate to be first on a scoop, to the point where he's irresponsible about the reporting of the scoop. And that's my problem with Ian Rappaport. I think he's an irresponsible journalist.
Unfortunately, with a lot of the new age journalism, that is the case. People would rather be first than be correct.
Yep.
They'd hope that they're right. They throw it out there. Because here's what happens. An hour from now when Antonio Brown does get traded, or 3 hours from now when he does get traded, people are going to forget that it was mentioned that he was going to Buffalo because it's the next story. It's the next part of the news cycle.
Yeah, I won't because I've been keeping track. I got a book on this guy, this arrogant bleepity bleep, 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 bleep. Can't stand Ian Rappaport. I'm very happy that this blew up in his face again.
Staying in the NFL real quick, there was a trade that goes down yesterday. Broncos are trading Case Keenum. We knew this was coming when they decided to go out and get Joe Flacco. They're trading him to the Redskins, who had been in on potentially Josh Rosen, maybe Ryan Tannehill. It's They've agreed to trade Case Keenum to the Redskins for a 6th-round pick in the 2020 draft. I believe they're also going to split the contract. I've never heard this before in the NFL.
It's a baseball thing.
Yeah, but $7 million guaranteed in offset. The Redskins and Broncos decided to split it evenly. The Broncos would have carried $10 million in dead money had they cut. Keenum will now save $3 million by paying only $3.5 million, as well as the $500,000 restructuring bonus. So either way, Case Keenum will be the Redskins starter this year, while Alex Smith recovering from the gruesome leg injury that he had a year ago.
John Elway is one of my favorite athlete sports figures of all time. I'm a big fan of Horseface. He, ironically, is awful with his quarterback decisions. Mm-hmm. Just absolutely terrible. And you say, well, what about Peyton Manning? You went and got him and won a ring. Mm-hmm, he did. And Peyton Manning's rag arm was holding on for dear life, wasn't it? Didn't the defense kind of sort of win that ring for him? Mm-hmm. Anyway.
In fairness, they went to 2 Super Bowls in 3 years, yeah. So you can't be too mad.
No. I mean, he got that one right, let me see. Peyton Manning on the Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks. Sure. It's like Kevin McHale drafting Kevin Garnett back in the day with the 5th overall pick. I love Kevin McHale. I can't give you all kinds of credit for stealing a guy when you got KG 5 overall. But let's talk about the Redskins for a minute, John. I'm sorry, Redskins fans. Say hello to even more mediocrity.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Case Keenum, that's not exciting, Redskins fan. So you have Case Keenum and Colt McCoy are going to battle for the starting
Case
job.
Keenum's
have
better.
Fun.
Well, Case Keenum's better than Colt McCoy.
You got that right.
And unfortunately for them, Alex Smith going down the way that he did really train wrecked everything. Elsewhere, let's get to some of the local things. We're going to have Braves and Phillies today. Braves did not play yesterday. They had an off day during spring training. They'll be back at it today. Tomorrow,
Josh Donaldson?
Yeah, maybe.
Josh Donaldson? It's Josh, I know that. But
maybe?
Yeah, we think.
We hope.
He's finally going to make his spring debut
again,
today.
I'm
going
to defer now to Brian Jordan. He keeps telling me March 15th is the day to start being worried. So that gives me 1 week. So next Friday, if Josh Donaldson isn't hitting 3 home runs a game, then I'm going to be worried.
I'm with you, bro.
And I'm being a little facetious.
I'm with you, bro.
There. Hey, elsewhere, it'll be Hawks and Nets tomorrow night. The Atlanta Hawks 22-44 on the year. Return back home here at State Farm Arena.
The Kenny Atkinson Bowl. Mm-hmm. He was once an assistant for Mike Budenholzer, parlayed that gig into a head coaching gig with the Nets, and now he's lauded as one of the better coaches in the NBA. And a lot like the compliment that Lloyd Pierce told us that Greg Popovich gave him after the loss to San Antonio on Wednesday, saying that, man, I love the way you're coaching your team. Your team brings it every night. They make it difficult on every team to get a win. The same thing is said about Kenny Atkinson, about the way he gets his teams up for every game, and they just chop wood for 48 minutes. You got to beat the Nets. They don't beat themselves. And we get a look at all-star D'Angelo Russell down here at State Farm Arena.
They got the better end of that trade as of right now because D'Angelo Russell hooping for them. Also, Atlanta United, their home MLS opener over the weekend. They're going to play expansion team FC Cincinnati. All kinds of parties and stuff. Listen to some of our promos today. You can find out where to hang out with 92.9 The Game. All the supporters groups. They need a bounce back in a huge way.
It's a must win. It's a must win.
Yep. I think it's only must win. This has got to be 3-0.
I agree. It's a must win. And I won't be happy with 1-0. I need 3-0, 4-0. I need a damn party on Sunday afternoon. I will be in the house with my boy Steve Alexander, a.k.a. Dr. A of RotoWorld.com fame. I'm excited to go to the match with him. Haven't hung out with him in a while. We are fantasy brothers from another mother going back like 15 years. But the bottom line, John, is there are a lot of people. I know you have already pounced upon the panic button with this team.
Yeah.
We need a feel-good win on Sunday.
Well, somebody that's not feeling good is Will Wade, head coach of LSU's basketball team. FBI wiretaps intercepted telephone calls between Wade and aspiring business manager Kristen Dawkins, in which Wade expressed frustration about his inability to close what he described as a strong blank offer for a recruit. Money for recruits. And the FBI's on it again.
I'm an even bigger LSU fan now.
Well, Will Wade may not be a big LSU fan much longer because he might be in some hot, hot water. Rick Kamla poses a very interesting question. We were talking about Frank DeBoer yesterday. I want to get back into it. Is he Steve Sarkisian 2.0? Oh, this ought to be fun. That's coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's our midday party, and when I'm partying, we're not listening to this. But it's fun, and we clown around, and we're the midday show with Rick and John.
What if Tiesto's playing this at Hakkasan? Like,
yeah, I'll go with that.
And foam is flying out of the floor.
Yeah, the... It's,
your drink napkin goes flying up.
Yeah, I've got a Camel cocktail in my hand, vibing in Vegas. Yeah, but with a lot of remixing. But you could do the baby shark. But if you're in Hakkasan or Tao, I'll go with the flow.
I'll be honest, they could play anything in Hakkasan or Tao. I don't care what they play. Like, they literally could come on. I'm trying to think, like, what's the worst music you could ever think of hearing? You know, they could play Creed on a continual loop. As long as it's mixed like that, you're going to be fist pumping and just vibing and having a good time.
I got a little tease for the top of the hour. I've been doing this research on Trae Young. Okay. So far, there's one point guard I would rather have going forward than Trae Young. So far, there's
one. Well, I've got two in my head already,
and I've made it through several teams. Okay. So, top of the hour. But let's dive into this, man. Is Frank DeBoer Steve Sarkisian 2.0? And if you're saying, Kamala, it's way too early to ask this question, that's fine, that's fair. But I and we like to get out ahead of things. Mm-hmm. And I'm early on a lot of stuff. And unlike Ian Rappaport, my stuff is well thought out, and it's responsible, and a lot of times it's accurate. Is it too early to have this conversation? Like I said, maybe, but I don't think so. And that's why we're having it, John, because I'm having Sark flashbacks, and here's why. You had the Tata Martino system, glorious. We were the Golden State Warriors of MLS, win a championship, and now he's gone, okay? Kyle Shanahan, extraordinary offensive designer and play caller.
Right.
And I know the Super Bowl screw-up is what it is. The guy is brilliant on that sideline, calling plays from an offensive perspective. So you lose him. So huge downgrade, John. We knew it, okay? Going from Shanahan to Sark, we knew it was going to be a big downgrade. Mm-hmm. But we were hopeful that it would work. We knew that going from Tata Martino to Frank DeBoer was going to be a big downgrade. But we were hopeful that it would work. And, John, throughout the first year of Sarkisian, you and I doing our best to justify it,
right,
and placate it and pump life into it and pump belief into it. Whether we believed it or not, we wanted it. Mm-hmm. And we hoped for it. And ultimately, we were all wrong, and it didn't work. And Sark lasted 2 years, and he's gone. Now, four games in with Frank DeBoer, I'm getting the same flashbacks, John, of I'm not liking what I'm seeing at all. I don't recognize the soccer club that I fell in love with last year. But I'm holding out hope that it's going to iron out and we're going to be okay. But because that ended up being false hope, John, with Steve Sarkisian, it has me wondering early if it's all false hope with Frank DeBoer. And if 3 months from now, we are still complaining about the Frank DeBoer system and the fact that PT and Joseph aren't on the same page with each other, and the whole thing just looks meh relative to last year. So I am worried that Frank DeBoer is Steve Sarkisian 2.0. We'll take calls on this, 404-741-0929. Holla at your boys on a party Friday.
So here's the thing, Rick. I put up a Twitter poll yesterday, and I literally just asked, does Atlanta United have a Frank DeBoer problem? Yes, it's time to move on. No, give him time. Now, I was not saying we should fire Frank DeBoer today. That is not where I'm going with this, but it kind of was phrased that way. It's funny, 72% of Atlanta United fans have responded and said, no, give him time. Almost 800 votes on the Atlanta United poll yesterday. But some interesting comments, because I'm not going to lie that I'm some soccer aficionado. That's Mike Conti. That's Jason Longshore. You know, those are the people that I will go to and trust and listen to when it comes to all this stuff. And I was listening to Jason last night on with Andy, trying to calm everybody down. Like, look, let's just relax a little bit. Let's not go crazy. You know, Monterey is a better team talent-wise than you are. My issue is this. I heard all offseason that CONCACAF was what this team is looking for, that CONCACAF was going to be the proving ground for Atlanta United. All right, you won the first round. Wasn't great, but you won. Got beat on the road pretty badly. You came back home and absolutely annihilated this Herediano. You look completely outclassed on, what was it, Tuesday night?
Wednesday
night. Days are running together on Wednesday night. Monterey looked like a better team. They looked like they made better adjustments. Their manager made some substitutions. And Atlanta United, for four matches, even the Herediano match, they just feel like they're disjointed. Joseph Martinez last year kept getting runouts, and he kept being set up perfectly by guys. And he'd get in the open field, and he'd do what he does best, and that score goals. Breck Shea, to me, right now, he's just a dude. He had one really good match against Herediano up at Kennesaw State. The other two, he looks lost. Mikey Ambrose, he's just a dude right now. He might end up being better, but he's just a guy. I don't see it out of Pity Martinez yet. He may end up being that dude somewhere along the line. Right now, he looks like a guy that flops too doggone much. Every time he gets hit, he looks like he's been shot by a sniper. So I look at that, and I do think there's a stubbornness right now with Frank DeBoer, with his system, with his guys, his lack of substitution. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of creativity, and something needs to give quickly. CONCACAF's done. Yeah, you have another match, but that thing's over. Now you need to get focused into MLS and see if we can repeat as champions.
So the question is Frank DeBoer, Steve Sarkisian 2.0? We'd love to get your input on it. 404-741-0929 here on the home of the Falcons and Atlanta United. John, let me take you back to Sunday and MLS's coverage of the United and DC United game. So at halftime, I believe the guy's name is Taylor Twellman.
Yeah, Taylor Twellman.
Taylor Twellman, solid analyst. He's on ESPN all the time. He interviewed Frank DeBoer. Frank DeBoer, John, and I'm paraphrasing, explained that he was not as successful as here that the club wanted to be in his previous stop. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me where it was. I just know that it didn't go the way as it was planned. He described it as essentially I wasn't hard ass enough with my team. It's basically how he described it in terms of I came in. The team needed an upgrade and a tweak and a new idea, and I didn't. I wasn't forceful enough with my team in implementing all of the changes that needed to take place. Essentially, he described himself as too much of a pushover at his previous stop, and needed to be a little bit more heavy-handed with his system to implement it and get his team to play that way. Okay, now let's go to Atlanta United. And what he also explained, John, was with Atlanta United, they're coming off a championship, and they don't need as much fixing. So essentially he said he was going to come in, that this is what he said to Taylor Twellman, that he was just basically going to come in and oversee a beautifully running piece of machinery. It does not look like the same piece of machinery that I saw last year. And you mentioned he's being hard-headed and stubborn. Okay, so let's go back to what I just said about how he felt about his previous stop, where he wasn't stubborn enough. It wasn't heavy-handed enough. So maybe, John, to your point, he is now with this new chance with Atlanta United, like, it's my way or the highway. I got to be a coach.
Right.
I was a pushover here. I got to come in and be a little bit more of a disciplinarian and maybe a stickler and all that. And I'm theorizing here. I'm putting 1+1, and my gauge could be a little off here, but maybe not.
I want to read a couple of the comments that came in, and we'll get a couple of calls on this. Matter of fact, we'll take it into the next segment and continue the conversation because a lot of people want to sound off. Ryan says, hey, this is the third game in a week on top of some atrocious officiating. Everyone needs to calm down with their hot takes. Same people were calling for Tata's head after the Houston opener last year. I don't remember that conversation happening, at least not on these airwaves. It was just a bad opener. Here's another one. This is from 2018 MLS Champion World, or whatever his Twitter name is. The system is not a fit, and he's being rigid in its adherence to it. The lineup, the 89-minute subs, what the blank, the flat, side-to-side, and backward uninspired play. He took a Lambo, and he's driving it like a Pinto.
I don't disagree with that.
Let's go to another one. It's been four games. It's way too early to have this conversation. So I'm really getting back and forth, and I've got tons of comments I could go through, but there's a lot of back and forth with this. I'm not saying fire the guy. I'm saying, and this, I want to use this analogy again for the people that haven't heard me before. Atlanta United has put themselves on equal timing as Falcons, Dogs, Braves, Hawks. You know, we're going to talk about Atlanta United a lot because they've earned that right. You go win a championship and you capture this city, you earn that right. But with that right comes criticism, does it not? What'll happen on Monday if the Falcons are 1-3 and their only win, like this past year? What were we doing on that Monday?
Hitting the panic button.
Panic button. Who were we yelling about? Dan Quinn, Steve Sarkisian, Marquand Manuel, Vic Beasley, Matt Ryan. You name it, we get on those dudes.
Now, to the point of the comment where they said, you know, we're four games in, obviously every football game, John, is an event, and every football game is a chapter of a story.
Sure.
And it's a brief marathon.
Yep.
The soccer season goes from March all the way until like November. So it's in terms of like relativity to the importance of these games, every NFL football game is more important than every MLS soccer game because mm-hmm. there's less of them.
Sure.
Okay, soccer fans, I'm not playing sport versus sport. This is a numbers game. When you only have 16 opportunities to make the playoffs, it puts a lot more weight on every one of those 16 games. So, and you can draw more conclusions after four NFL football games than you can after four either MLS or CONCACAF soccer games. So I hear their point a little bit with this being too early, but our team is such a departure from the team that we mm-hmm. saw last year that I actually don't think it's too early to have this conversation.
And my problem with this is, once again, the stress was on CONCACAF, how important this was, not only for MLS, but for Atlanta United. We're the big dogs. We want to show that we can go down there and compete and win. Beating Herediano proved nothing. They were a middle-of-the-road Costa Rican team that you shouldn't have been in a dogfight with. Getting blown out by Monterrey, who may be the best team in the entire CONCACAF Champions League, not a good look. You lose that match 1-0, I'm not having this conversation because you got a good chance at Mercedes-Benz Stadium to win in advance. Now the only thing you're trying to do is avoid embarrassment because you're not beating this team 4-0. I mean, I think we can all see it. You're not. That would be like us saying, all right, Falcons, you got to go beat the Saints 31-3. It's probably not going to happen.
Are you talking about the Cincinnati game?
No. I'm talking about the game against Monterrey in the CONCACAF. You're going to have to beat that team 4-0 to advance.
Oh, yeah,
it's not happening.
That ain't happening.
My point with that is you got to save embarrassment now, and that's not what you were supposed to be. This was supposed to be, we're ready to compete with teams like this. We'll take your calls on this coming up next, 404-741-0929. You can hit us up as well on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We'll also check Rick's poll. We'll see where it's at right now with DeBoer and Sarkisian.
It's balanced.
It is on Sports Radio 92.9, the game.
No, he was a short little guy.
Okay.
Short little guy. Walks around like, ruh. He's that guy. You know the guy.
How's he walk?
Ruh. You know the guy. You know the guy. Anyway, Rick Campbell at John Michaels. You know us. We throw a midday party Monday through Friday, 10 to 2 here on the home of the Falcons, home of Atlanta United. Sports Radio 92.9, the game. And, whoa. You know I love a balanced poll, John, and my poll is really balanced right now. We want you to like us and follow us at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at 92.9 The Game, and at Rick and John 929. When you're done with all that, hit me up on my personal Twitter account. Is Frank DeBoer going to be Steve Sarkisian 2.0? ? Yes or no? I like simple polls, and I like them when they teeter-totter, John. Yes is 49%, no is 51%. Boom. How do you like that? 49% of people think already after four games, Frank DeBoer is Steve Sarkisian 2.0. 51% are hanging in there and holding out hope that, no, God forbid, he's Steve Sarkisian 2.0, and they don't believe that he will be. But that gives you a pretty good idea of how Atlanta is feeling right now about Frank DeBoer. Half of the people aren't really feeling that dude right now.
Take a couple of calls on this, 404-741-0929. Guys have been holding on, want to sound off. Let's go to Brian here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Brian, how are you feeling about Frank DeBoer?
You know, it's a terrible comparison when you want to go to him and talk to him. I mean, I like the guy. Completely different style of football. You've got to give him a chance. People forget or people don't know or care to know. This guy came up under Cruyff, through the Ajax Academy. You got to think he was successful at Ajax before he was at Crystal Palace. You know, I mean, people don't see this, don't realize this. I mean, you've got players that are there that have been there, a new coach coming in. I mean, you've got a typical Latin American style coach who's going to be free flowing. He's going to let the play go, who was, you know, look at basketball. It's like a full court press. I mean, you know, that's not his style of defending. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's completely different. He's more methodical. You know, let the other team come to you with the ball. Tata was, you know, white on rice. I mean, it's different. It's a different style. I mean, people are just going to have to realize you're going to have to give him time now. I'll be the first to say, you know, four games in, it is what it is. CONCACAF on the table, which is likely out the door. I don't throw it away. I mean, look at what United did to PSG. I mean, you can't throw it away. And maybe they surprise you, but at the same time, I mean, you know, if we're 15 games in, 20 games in, then, you know, maybe we start having the discussion, you know, about how things are going. Four games in, I mean, it's care. I mean, these are like Tennessee fans, and I'm a Tennessee alumni. You know, every year's our year. I mean, and we're, you know, the next year we've got it going. But
the problem with that, Brian, Tennessee, I mean, I understand where you're coming from. College football fans are equally impatient. Trust me, I'm right ahead at the impatient level when it comes to coaching and all of that stuff. The difference is Atlanta United just won a championship. And I want to go back to what you early said. Frank DeBoer may be a great coach, and he's proven in the past that he can be a really good manager. Tata's system worked. While it may not have been the most aesthetically pleasing to people that want to play a system like Frank DeBoer, I like the, I don't want to call it haphazard, I like the frenetic pace that they ran under Tata Martino. And that's why there's a lot of soccer purists that question the hire immediately going, wait a second. And trust me, I trust Carlos Bocanegra. I trust Darren Eales. They know more in the little tip of their pinky than I could ever imagine to know about soccer. And Arthur Blank put them in charge to with the trust to go find the right guy. I would have liked somebody that played the same system of Tata Martino because these players thrived in that a year ago.
That's one of the reasons why we're comparing Sark and DeBoer is because Sark came in here, Dan Quinn said it, to shepherd us through with the same program and the same system. It wasn't, though. And it had glimpses of it, but it was never the same system. And I'm not saying people were lying. I think that might have been the intent, but the actual execution of it fell short. Mm-hmm. And so if DeBoer came in here, and we're not even being sold that he's trying to uphold the same system as Martino. He's just coming in and immediately changing the system. I don't necessarily agree with that either, but let's go to Devon and bring him in to the Midday Show with Rick and John here. Devon, we're on the home of United, the home of the Falcons, and we're just raising the question. Is Frank DeBoer Steve Sarkisian 2.0? Swing on that.
Well, yeah, hey, I'm the Lambo driving it like a Pinto guy. I'm Devin for real from Atlanta United Fan TV, and yes, he is not the right hire. It was a bad hire when it was made. Your previous caller mentioned something about Johan Cruyff. Well, straight out of dude's mouth, he's more influenced by Louis van Gaal. And my Manchester United fans that watched Louis van Gaal practically destroy that club after Moyes and Ferguson left, you know, that's what you're getting. We're in a salary cap league. He's been at Inter, he's been at Ajax, and he's been at Crystal Palace, three clubs with money that can go out and buy players when they need them. We're not that here. He's trying to force a system upon players that don't play it. He's going to lose the locker room.
Devin, great call, bro. We appreciate it, and that's a good one. And, again, there are guys that know a hell of a lot more about the intricacies of some of the other teams in soccer than we do. I just watch a style right now that's not very aesthetically pleasing. Go back last year. Was there ever a time where Atlanta United got shut out in back-to-back matches? Like they have been here?
I don't believe so.
And think about it. If Julian Gressel doesn't hit, what about a 30-yarder against Herediano, three of their four matches would have been shutout losses. And that's not the team. We knew a year ago what could they do at any point. They could explode for two or three goals. And if they gave up one or two, so be it. Right now they look soft on defense. It looks like, you know, almost like a matchup zone where they're allowing teams to get free runs and free kicks. And they're not really aggressive on offense like they were a year ago. It's a lot of just kicking it down and hoping for the best.
Let's see what Jeremiah has to say, John. Jeremiah, get in here, man. Is Frank DeBoer the second coming of Steve Sarkisian?
Don't know that much about him, but I can tell you this. It's the same song in different sport. These people are unforgiving in Atlanta, and they're quick to criticize. Give the man a chance. I mean, hell, it's soccer. It's not lacrosse. Thanks a lot.
Jeremiah, we did not need Paul, that parting shot, Jeremiah. Jeremiah, you were making sense, and then you took a shot at an entire sporting group here in Atlanta. But, Jeremiah, we still love you, bro.
Here's what I want to ask. Paul, is that like an uncle of yours? Because you and him are both very blunt. Say what
I would
you
love for Jeremiah to be my uncle. We are not related, but we can be related.
Are you sure? Choice. Have you gone to, what's that, Ancestry.com to see if Jeremiah might be in the family, the Bible family tree
I'm
somewhere?
I'm going to do that during the break.
I tell you what,
that costs money, though.
It does.
He did just prop up Georgia Swarm, didn't he?
He did.
Big fan. Mark Owens, maybe they got a match Saturday night. Your Pearly White's going
to
be out there.
I want to see Jeremiah at a Swarm game.
With some shine.
Stag Sting City. Right. Let's go, Lyle Thompson.
I'm going to tell you now, Lyle Thompson.
Let me tell you something.
You don't score right now. I'm going to yank you by that ponytail.
I'll tell you what, I don't know what's going on with them putting those balls in the nets, but by God, it's a lot of fun.
I love it, man. Let's take another call here, John. We got to bang these out, man. I got this Trae Young project I got to drop on you. It's very favorable for our young hotshot superstar point guard. Let's bring in Henry, man. Henry, is Frank DeBoer Steve Sarkisian 2.0?
I think we got to pump the brakes on that. It's just way too soon to tell. I mean, here's the deal. We knew that it's going to take a while for his system to take hold, and we knew the beginning of the season was going to be rocky. That being said, it's fair to question him, especially coming off this last game. I mean, why did he stick with a system of a 3-4-3 when his top three wingbacks were injured? Why did he not substitute until the 90th minute? And why didn't we pull back when it was clear the game was getting away from us? These are fair questions, and we should ask those questions. But comparing him to Sarkisian at this point, it's just too soon. We got to let it play out, and we really need a big showing in our next two matches. Here at home, it's going to be a good confidence boost, and then getting a chance at Monterey again. But it's too soon now. I hope he's not 2.0, that's for sure.
We do as well. We hope it turns around all of a sudden. Kyle Shanahan comes walking back through the door. We appreciate the feedback via the phones and the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can always hit us up at Rick and John 929, at 929 The Game. You can follow me personally at John Michaels 929 because, you know, I signed the paper. It might be a sellout, but I could go ahead and mention that name. I just have to say Rick Kamla has a personal Twitter account.
Somewhere.
Come back. NBA fast break. Where is Trey in the pantheon of point guards in the NBA? A lot of P's next on Sports Radio 92.9 again.
Andy Bunker and the Bunker Mentality.
Atlanta, we have a superstar on our hands, and the world doesn't know it yet, but we do. His name is Trey Young. Right now, at 20 years old, averaging 18.3 points and 7.7 assists as a rookie on a team that has twice as many losses as wins. He's not supposed to be doing what he's doing. Rick Kamla, John Michaels here on the home of the Hawks, and let's get into this game, man. We're going to measure Trey Young against every other point guard in the league to see where he stacks up right now in terms of who you would rather have going forward. If you tell me right now you would rather have Chris Paul to help you win a playoff game than Trey Young, I'll go with that.
Sure.
But he's 33 with a terrible contract. Who would you rather have going forward, CP3 or Trey Young? It's Trey Young.
That one's tough because I think Chris Paul, when healthy, is still an elite-level point guard in this league.
Those two words you just said.
And that's obviously a huge part of it. He has, unfortunately, had his body break down at some inopportune moments, including, what, Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals a year ago, or they may have knocked off the Golden State Warriors.
So let's get into it. Would you rather have Eric Bledsoe or Trae Young?
Trae Young?
Okay.
That's not even a question.
I think it's a question. Bledsoe's 29. He's going about 16-5-5 for the best team in the East, but I agree.
But I think that's his ceiling. Like, you're not going to get much more than that out of Trae.
That's who he is. He's about 15-5-5 guy. Kyle Lowry, 32 years old, 14.7 points, 9 assists.
You can take his chubby butt and leave him north of the border. Stay up there in Toronto. Go to Sky Dome. I don't care. Go to the Rogers Center. Kyle Lowry is one of the most overpaid players in the NBA.
I agree with everything you just said right there. Ben Simmons, he is 22, going 17 points, 9.2 rebounds, 7.9 assists. Ben Simmons or Trae Young?
Well, that's a tough one.
By the way, has never made a three in his career.
Yeah, that's
59% foul shooter and 56% from the floor because it's all in the paint on dunks and floaters.
He's still really good.
He's a stud.
Go back to him. I got to think about that one for a minute because I'm 50-50 on those because they each bring something completely different to the game.
I've got four guys right now that I would definitively rather have than Trae Young. Mm-hmm. Three other guys that I'm debating with. Ben Simmons is not one of those guys that I'm debating. Nope.
Okay.
Nowadays, to have a point guard that can't shoot threes, forget about it. Yeah. Now, could he play for me? Yeah. Could he play for me over Trae Young? No. Kyrie Irving.
I'm taking Kyrie Irving.
26 years old. He's going 23.4, 4.9 rebounds, 7 assists, which is a big number for him. Shooting percentages, 49 from the field, 42 on threes, and 87 from the line.
I know he's going to cost gobs more money than what Trae Young costs. I'm still taking Kyrie Irving. You know what he was? He had the onions in Game 7 of the finals to make a shot to win a championship. He's a big reason. He's 1A or 1B to LeBron's 1A why Cleveland has an NBA championship. I take Kyrie Irving. I know he's a malcontent right now, and he may not be happy. Give me that dude for 3 or 4 years, and I like where I'm at.
He's one of four guys that I would take over Trae Young right now going forward, Kyrie Irving. D'Angelo Russell, all-star this year, 23 years old, 20.5 points, 6.8 assists, 37% on threes. But, John, taking 18 field goal attempts per game to get to those 20.5 points. D'Angelo Russell or Trae Young?
I'm going to take Trae Young. The fact that he was a young dude that was already traded, I know the Lakers were a mess, and he may not have fit in the locker room. That is part of it. Wasn't he a guy that, like, tattletailed on somebody else for cheating?
Yep, Nick.
Yeah, I don't need you on my team. If you're the dude putting other dudes on blast on Instagram, but he's cheating too. Nope. That's why Kobe's never been my dude. But Shaq did it.
Shut up, Kobe. I'll punch you in your little head.
No, I'm good. I don't want that guy on my team.
D'Angelo Russell is a guy that I am debating and wrestling with over Trae Young. But Trae Young gets the call, but he is a guy that's giving me pause. He's 23 years old, and I'm a big fan of D'Angelo Russell. Let's come to Kemba Walker here. Mm-hmm. 28 years old, I think a four-time All-Star now or a three-time All-Star. 28 years old, 25 points per game, 4.2 rebounds, 5.8 assists, 36% on threes. And again, he's a volume guy, 20.3 field goal attempts per game for those 25 points.
I'm taking Kemba Walker. Part of it, I'd like to see Kemba Walker on a team with better talent. He's been on some bad Charlotte teams. I mean, you're trotting out Marvin Williams and guys like Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, and you drafted, what was it, Frank Kaminsky, who they sometimes play and don't play. I like Kemba Walker. It's not a knock on Trae Young. Kemba's got those onions as well.
Kemba Walker's another one of these guys that I'm wrestling with over Trae Young, and I'm leaning Kemba Walker right now. John Wall, ladies and gentlemen, we're running down the point guards in the NBA and measuring Trae Young against them. Would we rather have Trae Young now and going forward than all these guys? So far,
I'm taking Trae Young in this one.
And so John Wall, 28 years old, and he's hurt. He's got a ruptured Achilles now. Yep. Before he went out, 20.7 points, 8.7 assists, 30% on threes.
And he's also set to make, what, like $40 million?
Yeah. It's insane.
No thanks. I like John Wall as a player. Pre-Achilles tear. Pre the other injury he had anyway. I mean, this is a dude that's now going to – he depended on lightning quick speed. He's not going to be as fast coming off a torn Achilles. It's just what happens.
John Wall is probably has the worst contract in the NBA. And we talk about, you know, Mike Conley's contract, Chris Paul's contract. John Wall's is even worse. This isn't even a decision.
They
it's
had
Trae
to trade Otto Porter because they can't afford John Wall. And Otto Porter's just a dude.
But what a stupid trade by the Bulls. To take on that money for Otto Porter Jr. to score 15 points a game on a team that's going to win 30 games. What a stupid trade. Steph Curry, any argument here?
Of course I'm taking Trae Young. No, Steph Curry's the best point guard in the league.
Right now in the top three all time.
I have to think about that, but you might not be off.
He's Magic, Isaiah, Curry. Like, he's up there with the Oscars and all those guys right now. He's already got three rings.
Yeah.
Two MVPs.
Have four in about four more months.
Jamal Murray of the Nuggets, 22 years old. Numbers are pretty good, John. 18.3 points, 4.3 rebounds, 5 assists, 37% on threes.
I'd probably take Jamal Murray, a little bit bigger body.
Really?
It's very close.
Here we go.
But, I mean, you're talking about a guy that's right now doing it on a team that's right at the top of the Western Conference. There's a different pressure with Jamal Murray than there. And it's no knock on. I love Trae Young. But Jamal Murray, bigger dude, can play a little off guard if you need as well. It's close. You know what? I'll put him in the Ben Simmons category. Those are arguable.
Okay.
Arguable.
All right. To me, I gave thought to it, but it's not one of the, like, 50-50 calls. Jamal Murray, I would rather have Trae Young than Jamal Murray. And for me, both can really get it cooking with the shot. Trae Young is way better with the vision, ball distribution, and making his teammates better. Any debate about Russell Westbrook as we count down point guards?
No.
We're comparing him to Trae Young.
Yeah, the debate is he better than Steph Curry?
Yeah.
That's about the only debate.
So far, Irving, Curry, and Westbrook are three guys that I would rather have than Trae Young now and going forward. Chris Paul, 33 years old. The numbers are coming down, John, like big time. 15.8 points, 8.3 assists, 42% from the field. He used to be a 50% guy.
Yeah.
35% on threes. You know, I mean, he's in the twilight of his career right now. Yeah. To me, this isn't even a debate.
Yeah, I'd still take Chris Paul.
Over Trae Young?
Yeah, right now.
Have you seen the money that he's got coming?
Yeah, I'm still taking Chris Paul.
I think you're nuts.
It's not a knock. I've seen he hasn't
won. Trae Young is 20. Chris Paul is 33.
I get it. You still got a few years left of Chris Paul. It's not like I'm saying this for the rest of my life. I take Chris Paul.
All right, my man. We disagree on that, but I love the disagreement here. And this is the only other guy that definitively I would rather have over Trae Young. His name is Damian Lillard. 28 years old, 26.3 PPG, 6.4 assists. Get these numbers. 45% from the field, rock solid, 37 on threes, and 91 at the line. Lillard, Westbrook, Curry, and Irving are the four guys that definitively I would rather have than Trae Young.
I've got six. I've got Paul, Lillard, Westbrook, Steph, Walker, and Irving. Kyrie Irving.
Okay, and
then I have three guys that I would be debatable with.
Who?
Ben Simmons, Jamal Murray, and De'Aaron Fox. I love De'Aaron Fox's game.
Well, we're getting to De'Aaron Fox right now. 21 years old, 17.2 points per game, 7.2 assists per game, and really solid percentages. 46% overall, 37% on threes, and 72 at the line, which needs to be better, but it's not terrible. So I mentioned the four guys. Fox, Walker, and Russell are causing my brain to play tennis with itself. Mm-hmm. But one other guy that is just worth bringing up, and it's Mike Conley. And Deshaun Tate, you guys know Deshaun Tate at this point. He brought him up. But Conley's 31 years old. He's having a good year, 20.4 points, 6.2 assists, 36% on threes, 43% overall. He's got a terrible contract. He's 31. Never been an all-star. I'm a fan of Mike Conley, but to me, this is not a debate. I would rather have Trae Young than Mike Conley now and going forward.
Yeah, and I wonder how many of those numbers right now are being empty numbers because you're on a horrible team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, you put anybody of decent talent on a bad team, they're going to get 20 points a game because there's nobody else that's going to be able to score around him. So I'm not taking Conley. Conley's out.
So and now let's get into these debates, man. And let me give you a couple other stats here. Trae, I did ranks among point guards, okay, mm-hmm. just the point guard position. So, in other words, Donovan Mitchell, no. Jrue Holiday, no. Those guys are two guards, okay? Who else, no? James Harden, no. A lot of people, he's listed as a point guard. He's not a point guard.
No.
Chris Paul's a point guard. He's a shooting guard. So, anyway, these are point ranks for point guards. Trae Young right now is ninth among point guards. It goes Steph, Lillard, Walker, Irving, Russ, Russell Westbrook, D'Angelo Russell, Conley, Murray, and then Trae. And Murray and Trae are tied. They both average 18.3 points per game. So Trae is ninth among point guards in the NBA in scoring right now. He is, John, fourth among point guards in assists. Only three guys in the league are averaging more than Trae in assists at the point guard position. Russell Westbrook at 10.6, Kyle Lowry at 9, and Ben Simmons at 7.9. And don't get it twisted, he is a point guard. Okay, mm-hmm. They're actually putting him in the box score now as a point guard, Ben Simmons, even though he's got the power forward body. So, John, I'll give you my final answer right now. I have Trae Young at six.
Okay.
So it's Irving, Curry, Westbrook, Lillard, and Kemba Walker. I will put those five guys over Trae Young now and going forward. I'm going to lose sleep this weekend over De'Aaron Fox versus Trae Young. Mm-hmm. To me, it's an absolute coin flip. I think they're both going to be extraordinary. Trae Young has better vision than De'Aaron Fox. Now, is De'Aaron faster? Is he better finishing at the rim? Yes. De'Aaron Fox is a better percentage three-point shooter right now than Trae Young. I think that will change. But I'm in love with Trae Young and the 10 assists per game. And he is going to get 20 to 30 points per game for his team just passing the rock. So for that, I will take Trae Young over De'Aaron Fox, and I will take Trae Young over D'Angelo Russell as well. So there it is. I've got Trae Young, number six on my list of point guards in the NBA I would rather have now and going forward.
Best case scenario for me would be seventh behind Paul, Lillard, Westbrook, Steph, Walker, and Irving. Worst case scenario, I guess that would have him at 10th. If I put him behind Ben Simmons, Jamal Murray, and De'Aaron Fox. But the thing is, we're having this conversation, and we're not even through year number one. It lets you know what kind of superstar the Hawks have. I laugh now at the conversations that people tried to have with us back in December. This guy's a bust. He's terrible. It's a horrible trade for the Hawks. No, it wasn't. And honestly, the trade won't really be able to be graded until about 6 or 7 years from now. When you really go back, Luka's a star, no doubt about it. Trae's a star as well, and you're going to get a top 6, 7, 8 pick coming up this year from the Dallas Mavericks.
Now, some people may, why isn't Doncic in this list? He's not a point guard.
Nope.
He is a point forward.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron James isn't on this list. He's a point forward, but he's not a point guard. So that's the
you didn't
difference
have Rajon Rondo on here. I wonder why.
Well, I mean, he's on the like long list of all the point guards, as well as your boy Satoransky of Washington.
What about Goran Dragic?
He's on here too.
Yeah, okay.
But how about that, man? And to John's point, pretty amazing that we're here in March of his rookie year, and we are talking about him with the Currys and the Westbrooks and the Kembas and the Lillards. already, ladies and gentlemen. I have him six right now. There's only 5 point guards in the whole NBA that I would rather have now and going forward than Trae Young. And this is not a homer call, y'all. This is objective.
No, you didn't have one. So.
Look, I work at NBA TV right across the street. Totally impartial over there. I cover 30 teams. Like I say, John, I got 30 mouths to feed. I don't prefer the Hawks over there. I prefer them here because we're the home of the Hawks. But I'm also not going to lie to you. I'm not going to put Trae Young over Damian Lillard. Be stupid. And you know, John has Chris Paul over Trae Young. And I think based on age and contract and all that kind of stuff and being injury prone, I disagree with that. But that's where we're at. Like, I got Trae Young over Chris freaking Paul right now. And I feel good about it.
So if you went to a playoff series right now and you're the Rockets, you'd rather have Trae Young than Chris Paul.
No. That's a different conversation. Okay. So I'm saying now and going forward.
Okay.
And if you're talking round one, you know, Rockets and Blazers, would I rather have Chris Paul or Trae Young? I'd rather have Chris Paul because he's been there. I mean, and he will eventually.
Would you rather have Trae Young or Kyle Lowry, a historically playoff shrinker?
Now it's Trae Young.
Mm-hmm.
Even without any playoff experience.
Right.
I'd rather see what he's got than Kyle Lowry, because we know what he's got.
Yeah, he's got about 25% from downtown. If you were watching it, watch 92.9thegame.com. A lot of shakage in Rick's face. Hey, join 92.9 The Game and Entercom Atlanta at the Esperanza Supporters Club tailgate in the Gulch this Sunday to kick off the Atlanta United home opener. Tailgate starts at noon near the center of the Gulch parking lot. They'll have food and drinks available. 92.9 The Game scarves will be on sale. You have a chance to win a Michael Parker signed jersey. Make sure you go to the event page at 92.9thegame.com for tailgate information. College football cheat sheet coming up next. Who are 5 teams that can bounce back in a big way in 2019? One source gives you a list. We'll debate it next.
We talk college football every day at 11:20. I know. You're welcome, Atlanta. Rick Hamlin, John Michaels. Hey, everybody, get it in this weekend, man. Be safe. Hit Lyft, hit Uber. Be smart about it, man. Get that DUI insurance, okay? Yeah, it might cost you $20 there, $20 back. And you're like, oh, way to go spend my money. No, just be smart, man. Don't say, oh, I'll be fine. John, because people go out and, right, it's like, I'll just have a couple of beers. But then you start having the time of your life, and 2 becomes 5. And then, oh, crap, I got my car and my keys here. Be smart, man. Take Uber or Lyft.
Yeah, you have to. For me, it's about a $60 to $70 round trip if I come all the
me
way
too.
Downtown. Those $70, you know what? A, okay, if I drink 2 less cocktails, I'm probably saving about $40 anyway, depending on where you're going. Those $70, the difference between that and spending a night in the clink and getting your car towed.
How about hiring the attorney to get you out of the clink?
Oh, yeah, probably losing your job, all of that stuff. It's not
worth it, man.
It ain't worth it. If those $70 stop you from, you know, going to jail, but if those $70 are deterring you from go out, then you probably don't need to go out anyway.
So just stay home and get it in.
Yeah, just stay home. Interesting article, College Football News. We love Pete Futak and his guys there. They do a great job during the offseason, giving you all kinds of content. And I was scrolling through today, and they have like their 19 and 19. It's kind of 19 things to look forward to into the 2019 season. And number 18 was 5 teams that could bounce back big in 2019. And it's very interesting. I want to debate these, go back and forth. Number 5 on their list. The Virginia Tech Hokies, who a year ago finished 6-7. They've lost their quarterback in Josh Jackson, who is now.
This is to bounce back?
Bounce back.
And they have Vatek on there?
And they have them at number 5.
Huh.
Let's go down. Oh, you obviously are – Josh Jackson is gone. They have an Oregon transfer named Braxton Burmeister coming in to challenge Ryan Willis. A couple of receivers took off. The O-line has just 2 starters. Deshaun McLeese, obviously a really good running back. He had considered transferring. But they think this could be a year, Justin Fuente, with a quarterback returning in Willis. Maybe you get back to playing some of the defense. Remember, they were really young defensively a year ago, and they struggled mightily under Bud Foster. Buying or selling Virginia Tech bouncing back?
I'm selling it, dude.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, because you have done a good job of talking about all the transfers that have left. Virginia Tech through the transfer portal. I think a lot of them have gone to your Hurricanes, right?
Just one. We only
just
took
one.
Yeah, we took one.
But hasn't Virginia Tech
lost? They lost
like
a few transfers.
Numerous guys. And I've done, you know, I got to go back to my notes on offensive depth charts, John.
There ain't a lot there at Virginia
Tech. No, there's not. I want to say they're losing a couple of wide receivers. I think they're losing 1 running back. I'm going to sell that, John. I'm not buying. Sorry, Virginia Tech fans. I'm not buying your club right now.
All right. Are you buying or selling the TCU Horned Frogs as a bounce back team? And I want to do a little.
You better sell me on a quarterback, Jack.
So 2018 or 2013, they go 4-8, and everything seems wrong. They bounce back the next year, 12-1. Probably should have been in the college football playoff. Then they stay 11-2. Then they fall back to 6-7. The offense was terrible. Bounce back in 17, go 11-3. Everybody thought a year ago they're going to roll. Horned Frogs scored 17 or fewer points in 7 of their last 10 games in college football. They won their bowl game 10-7.
Sean Robinson, how dare you? Shame on you.
Well, he will not be the quarterback this year. Defense should be fine. They're looking at transfer Alex Delton from Kansas State or freshman Max Duggan, Hacksaw Jim Duggan's grandson, or Justin Rogers. I'm just making
that's
that
right.
Up.
They got Alex Delton, didn't they?
Yeah, and a redshirt named Justin Rogers. They do not have Ohio State on the schedule. They have a trip to Purdue and then obviously the Big 12 stuff. Buying or selling TCU?
I'm going to go ahead and sell TCU, John, because Alex Delton is a I got to go to his passing numbers here. To me, he's more of a runner than a passer.
More of a runner, yep.
Yeah, and because if Delton gave me the ooh or gave me the tickle, mm-hmm. as I like to talk about, that Kevin Zeitler of Cleveland is giving me, Alex Delton is not giving me that tickle, John.
Okay.
So I'm selling.
I'm going to buy TCU. Gary Patterson is one of them dudes that I trust. And it seems like every year they have a down year, they bounce back in a big way and win 10 or 11 games the next year. I'm going to buy TCU just on the Gary Patterson effect. It's not the butterfly effect. You won't see like weird creatures on a bridge in West Virginia. It's just simply, it's Gary Patterson.
By the way, what the hell are you talking about?
You ever seen the movie The Butterfly Effect?
Or
how about the Mothman Prophecies?
I don't believe I saw that
one. The Mothman Prophecies, they kept seeing this moth-like creature. Wasn't it on a bridge in West Virginia or Virginia? I forgot. The movie's actually fascinating.
Better than Blair Witch Project?
The Blair Witch Project sucked.
Project rocked.
That's one of the stupidest movies ever
it's
made.
It's not. Great. It's brilliant.
You walk in your woods and go, oh, I'm scared. Oh, I'm scared. Ah.
I think I'm going to die. I'm so afraid.
We were all hoping by the end of the movie that you all die, so the movie would end. It was terrible.
I didn't know it was a hoax going in. I thought it was real.
It
certainly helped the effect of the movie.
At Rick and John 929, Blair Witch Project. Great movie, horrible movie. Because there's no in between.
There's really not. I think it's fantastic. John,
it's one of the worst things that's ever been made.
Mark Owens, Preacher Man, get on here. We gotta go around the room on this one.
I love it. I did. I loved it. It got me. I thought it was great. I mean, I knew it was a movie, but I thought the way they filmed it, it was self-filmed.
Yeah,
their
fantastic.
Point of view, the way they marketed it.
It was terrible.
Even with the soundtrack, when they said, these are the tapes that we found in one of the guy's cars.
And yeah,
we
put them together as a soundtrack. Scared the crap out of me,
now,
dude.
Two, Book of Shadows, and I even think they tried to remake it about 2 years ago. But the original, I'm on it.
Preacher Man, yay or nay?
Yeah, I never watched it.
You're not missing anything.
So we're 2-1-1.
It's not my thing.
No, it's nobody's
guns,
thing.
You know, bombs and bodies flying, I'm good with that. You give me that, you know, that
psychological thrill.
Psychological, yeah, I'm out.
Okay, all right. So I'll take that as a no. Because if you watch it, I don't think you would like it. So we're 2-2.
All right.
Blair Witch Project.
Team number three, they have bounce backable. And these are your boys, USC. I'm selling the hell out of USC because Clay Helton is like a zombie in a movie. He is dead man walking. He will not be the coach of USC a year from now. They were 5-7 a year ago. JT Daniels, pretty good quarterback. They've got some pieces. They're going to stink.
They might, John, but I'm going to buy here. John, I'm buying them for like 25 cents.
Okay.
I'm not putting much money on them. But they've got a group of running backs that are pretty good in returning. I think they had basically a three-headed monster last year. I think two of the three are coming back, including Stephen Carr. Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Playing behind Ronald Jones Jr. And they're loaded with wide receivers. Michael Pittman is coming back. Tyler Vaughns is coming back. Amon St. Brown will be a true sophomore. They've got receivers galore. So it's all about JT Daniels. Hot shot, right? Coming out of, I think it was Mater Dei, just a big-time recruit. Yeah, USC was psyched to get him. He was okay last year, not great. Had some really good moments, had some really bad moments. That's to be expected from a freshman. If he vaults, John, to a 3,000-yard, 25-touchdown guy with 10 picks, I think USC is going to be pretty good. So I'm buying.
I'm going to sell them. Like I said, I don't trust Clay Helton as far as I can throw him, and he's a bigger dude, so I don't think I could throw him very far. All right, number four on their list of teams that can bounce. It's actually number two because I'm going in reverse order. Teams that could bounce back, Deshaun Tate, are you listening? The Michigan State Spartans. Nine starters return on the defensive side of the ball for Mark D'Antonio. They had a really good – I mean, if you watch the bowl game, Oregon could go nowhere against the Michigan State defense. Predictably, though, their offense was stuck in quicksand, kind of like the guy that his wife tried to get rid of him and stuck him in quicksand a couple of weeks ago and from the Bible. Are you buying Michigan State to bounce back? They were 7-6 a year ago.
Do they still have Lewerke?
I'm not sure.
Let me look that up.
I'm not sure.
You know what? I'm going to buy.
Matter of fact, I don't think so. I think Lewerke's gone.
I'm looking it up right now. Yeah, 2015. He was a junior last year. So he might be a fifth-year senior.
He didn't turn pro?
That's a good one.
He's back. Tate's telling me he's back. Yeah,
that's a good one.
Brian Lewerke is back.
That was a good one. Is he going pro? No, John, he's not. But look, they've got Ironhead Hayward's son, Connor Hayward. Mm-hmm. I love him.
Yeah.
He's a stud. They've got receivers. I'm buying Michigan State. I like Mark D'Antonio. I think he's just a chop wood, no nonsense. I wish Kirby Smart on game day was more like Mark D'Antonio. I know. Shame on me.
What, lose 10-7?
No, he won't run a fake punt with 3 minutes left in the SEC championship game. I can tell you that right now.
Because they wouldn't be in the – I'm giving you crap on that. Just I'm saying they wouldn't be in the championship because they were once.
Are you buying – I'm buying Michigan State as a bounce back.
I am actually going to buy them because to go to the same principle with Gary Patterson. Mark D'Antonio is one of the best coaches in college football. Every time they have a down year, Michigan State comes back the next year and wins 9, 10, 11 games. Now, are they national title good? No. But they'll bounce back.
Deshaun Tate is loving this conversation.
He is.
Our college basketball expert, and he's running our TriCaster. Hey, you can see us at watch929thegame.com every single day.
So I'm going to do a hand signal to Rick Campbell, who they had number one on this list. They had it, I didn't.
No,
this is college football
news. You
want
to say it or should I say
it? You can say it.
The U.
Damn right they're bouncing back.
The funny thing is I kind of like John's squad. Now, I mean, he is to call you a super fan of the Miami Hurricanes just doesn't quite get you there.
Nope.
No, it really doesn't. Let me say, Spike Lee is a super fan of the Knicks and all that kind of stuff. John is north of that. Although, my man Spike did go down to Cameron Indoor to watch Zion play UNC, remember?
Yeah.
Because he, of course, Spike Lee wants Zion to be where next year, John?
With the Knicks.
The New York Knicks.
Of course
Knicks.
He does.
So he was actually already doing the Knick fan thing on Zion while Zion's at Duke. So he does qualify as a super fan. But my boy John Michaels is a super, super, super fan of the Canes. So sell me.
Offense, horrible a year ago. Mark Richt's antiquated, 1980, run deep, no quarterback, just terrible. Dan Enos comes over from Alabama. You get a new offensive coordinator. If the NCAA ever gets their head out of their rear end, they'll probably have a new quarterback to battle for the job in Tate Martell. Manny Diaz's defense is going to be really good. Three linebackers are seniors. They've all started since they were true freshmen. You'll be good defensively. If they scored 24 points a game on offense, they would have won 10 games a year ago.
I worry about quarterback for your guys, but I'm buying Miami's a bounce-back team. Super quick, John. It says in the rundown here, MF the NCAA. I got to know this.
Yeah, well, they moved the Miami-Florida game to August 24th. So now I have to hope, NFL gods, that the Falcons don't have a preseason game Saturday, August the 24th, and they basically screwed over all the fans that have booked travel and parties and everything else. Typical NCAA. It's all about them and the cash that they can put in their own pocket. We read between the lines next with the guy who takes cash in his pocket every day.
If the Week in Review was at the Combine, it would run like an 8.540. That's how bad it is. And you'll hear it next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Game. All right, so here's what's up, man. In around the 404, John is going to tell me something that is going to cause me to melt down live on the home of the Falcons. So stay tuned for that. I'm super butthurt right now.
Mm-hmm. Relax.
I can't, John. I'm butthurt. We have news about Vince Carter. We also have, John, I just went around the web, you know, this World Wide Web thing. It's kind of a big deal. And I saw a CBS mock draft and who they have the Falcons taking at number 14.
Were you mad then?
Get ready to throw up in a brown paper bag.
Okay.
So it'll be a very inviting, a very exciting around the 404 just minutes from now. But what do we do right now, John?
We hand it over to Mark Owens and let him do his thing.
Read Between the Lines, all brought to you by Right From the Heart and rightfromtheheart.org. Earlier this week, we talked about NBA Commissioner Adam Silver saying that players are isolated and they're just not happy right now.
Our players are young. We have young people in our office. I think we live a bit in the age of anxiety. I think part of it is a direct product of social media. And I think those players we're talking about, when I meet with them, what strikes me is that they are truly unhappy. This is not some, you know, show they're putting on.
Well, my BFF, he just doesn't know it yet. Charles Barkley was not impressed with the commission's comments.
I think that's probably the stupidest thing I've ever heard Adam say. And listen, he's a great guy, but that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of any commissioner say. These guys are making $20, $30, $40 million a year. They work 6-7 months a year. We stay at the best hotels in the world. They ain't got no problems. That's total bogus.
Charles Barkley keeps it real, and that's why I love when Charles Barkley speaks. Can there be mental problems no matter how much money you make? Absolutely. People deal with all kinds of different things. If you're unhappy, though, you're still living a pretty darn good life at that point. And I think Charles Barkley laid it out perfectly right there, Rick Gamma.
But didn't Charles, and by the way, he's my dude. Love him like a brother. But I got to call Charles out.
Okay.
Because Charles said about Kyrie Irving, Charles Barkley, mm-hmm. who just threw my boss, Adam Silver, right under the bus. Not happy about that, saying it's the stupidest thing he's ever said. I definitely disagree with that. And my guy, my homie, Charles Barkley, is contradicting himself, okay? Because he just recently said about Kyrie Irving, quote, he's one of the most miserable people I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Adam Silver was talking about, that the stars in his league, for whatever reason, some of them are unhappy. I don't think Adam Silver was too far. Does Kevin Durant seem happy to you?
Not really.
Does Kyrie Irving seem happy to
no.
you? Does DeMarcus Cousins ever seem happy
well,
to
no,
you?
Well, no, he never seemed happy.
Okay, so is Adam really that wrong, saying that he has had interaction and noticed that a lot of players are unhappy? No, he's not. And Charles just mentioned, went out of his way to kind of sort of bang on Kyrie Irving about him being, again, quote, one of the most miserable people I've ever seen. Charles, I love you, man, but you're talking out of both sides of your mouth here.
I just like the honesty. I like guys that'll fire off and not really hold back what they think. That's why I like Charles Barkley.
When you have that much money.
Oh, yeah, he's got plenty of money.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to work at TNT. We don't want him to go anywhere, but Charles could lay and chill and be in the club or do whatever the hell he feels like doing.
Let's go to the MLB. Bryce Harper continues to dominate the preseason headlines. He said earlier that he plans to reach out to Mike Trout when he becomes a free agent. Well, the MLB said they may look into those comments as tampering, but now Dodgers manager Dave Roberts, he was on with Dan Patrick, he defended Bryce Harper and admits tampering. It's normal in baseball.
I guess under the CBA, it's against the rules. I just think that a lot of that stuff goes on, but I just think that he could be a little bit more subtle, but I don't really think it's going to affect Mike in one way or the other down the road.
Hmm. It's probably not.
Yeah, but you can't. I don't know. And like Preacher Man said, the league's not doing anything about it. The league's like, oh, Bryce Harper mentioned Mike Trout's name going from, who cares? We're moving on. Spring training. Ratings are up. I mean, I don't know what to tell you guys about this. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I know how the NBA operates. The NBA, mm-hmm. it has a strict no-tolerance policy on tampering.
Right.
And we've seen the fines and heard the stories about it. Major League Baseball apparently doesn't give a dang about it, and so I guess I don't either.
At least as of right now, they don't. And again, we'll see if anything comes out. I don't think he's going to get fined at all. He'll probably have one of those stern talking tos and a strongly worded email sent to him. Maybe a memo will be left in his locker.
A memo.
Yeah.
I remember those.
Yeah, so does Bobby Petrino. That's how he quit, Weasley little coward.
Good interview with Will Muschamp a little bit earlier this week. You can hear it at 92.9thegame.com. And I wanted to get to this. We've been sitting on this since the interview about him talking about the early signing period. And some people are critiquing it, saying, or critical of it, saying, look, you kind of lose some of the luster when National Signing Day is here mm-hmm. by the early signing period. We asked Will Muschamp his thoughts.
I'm not real concerned about what anybody else does. I worry about what we do here at South Carolina. I think it's been very effective for us. We've signed some really good players in the early signing period. We ended very strong a year ago with Dylan Wonnum and Ricky Sandage, two guys that were recruited by everybody in the country, and I guess some of those elite schools you're talking about. And then this past year, you know, Jamie Robinson was a big sign for us, and Jaquez Searles, we beat Alabama and Penn State. So I think we've signed good players in the early signing period and the late signing period.
He was a little upset at my questioning there. And I asked him, you know, cause let's be real. South Carolina's not the elite program. It's Clemson, it's Alabama, it's Ohio State. They walk in and go, boop, 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 boop. And does South Carolina win battles? Absolutely. And that's why I gave Coach Muschamp the compliment. He's been able to recruit anywhere he's gone. And he's been able to be a guy that walks in and gets a top 20 class. I wanted to know the difference, really, with the early and the late signing period. Because before, when it was the late signing period, you had all the vultures of Ohio State and Alabama and Clemson that would wait and would just pick guys off before they could actually put pen to paper. I think the early signing period actually helped some of the small, and I don't want to say small, some of the not top five recruiting schools. Because then, look, the guys are already signed. These other schools only have so many scholarships they can give out. And that's why South Carolina keeps going in and winning some battles.
Major shout-out to Coach Will Muschamp. Yep. We always love having big-time coaches on. Depending on what you think about him or South Carolina, it's a great get. And so we're always pleased to bring those interviews to you. iTunes, 929thegame.com. But, M.O., if I'm Kirby Smart, I'm driving around town, and of course I'm listening to 92.9 The Game and his boys, Rick and John, and I'm saying, yeah, I can't have Will Muschamp getting all this air time. I got to get on here and get equal air time. So, Coach, we're here for you, man, and we will ask you about the fake punt.
Do we have anybody else that's still lingering in the wind right now? I know Manny Diaz is lingering. Dan Mullins told us kick rocks. Willie Taggart's still too busy planning an 80s throwback concert during their spring game.
Dabo not quite turned us down yet. They're still
okay
mulling it over, so to speak.
I'm surprised we haven't had what's our dude from Vandy? He normally will jump on in a heartbeat.
When I sent that email, my guy Larry was out of town.
That's cool.
At Rick and John 929, apparently we're Flashback Friday. We debated the merits of the Blair Witch Project, the original.
Terrible.
And we asked the question at Rick and John 929 on Twitter, you know, what are your thoughts on the movie? Do you love it or do you hate it? And right now, dumb, waste of money, leading at 53% of the votes.
But it's balanced.
47% said I loved it. A couple of the responses coming in. Daniel said it was innovative at the time. Not scary, but a good movie. Anthony said, I appreciate the production behind it, mostly because the director just messed with us the entire time, but not a very good movie. And Luke, I think, sums up, if you haven't seen Blair Witch, it's too late now, but if you haven't seen it, Luke says, no, it's not good. Boom, bang, loud, noisy. So no, scary, big, boom, noise, jump out, ghoul, stretchy, mouth, no scary.
Yeah. Greg says the only thing worse than Blair Witch was Cloverfield, which was dreadful.
I did not like Cloverfield. Blair Witch Project kicked Cloverfield's butt.
Well, equally as dumb as the Rick and John Week in Review. If you missed it, you can hear it at 92.9thegame.com. Enjoy!
Check, check, check. 1, 2, 1, 2. We good? All right. Coming down in 3, 2, and 1.
No, he was a short little guy.
Okay.
Short little guy. Walks around like, ruh. He's that guy. You know the guy.
How's he walk?
You know the guy.
Give me somebody that on 3rd and 1, I know I can run right up his rear end and get the 1 yard because he blows a guy off the football.
But it was the prop that they used on the show,
yeah,
right?
And it has, you know, got it has some little, value. You know, what they call provenance because it was on the show. It's on TV. You can
provenance.
You like that,
look at that word.
It's a French word, isn't it?
Oui.
Provenance.
Randy just will dive in at any point. Like, you really have to get me going.
Apparently, he blew people away at the combine, both with his mouth and with his body.
And it was amazing what a half an inch meant in combine measurements.
He's got a great penetrating ability. He can handle the double team. He handles whether he plays the 1 technique or the 3 technique.
You grab Uga, and you're kind of holding Uga like a football, and the mouth's getting close to your mouth. Are you letting Uga just climb right in there with a kiss?
It's Uga. Yes, you do.
I didn't know where you were going with that.
You question it. You let it happen.
Why are the Falcons negotiating with Deion Jones when Gradio and Julio are looking for new deals? Gradio and Julio.
Booty!
You can put it in a cup. I'll drink some of this slobber right now.
I'll rub this slobber on. It's my war paint, Uga slobber.
Quinnen Williams was always viewed as a top 5 pick. Top 5 pick.
Sam Elliott. I was in that movie about the dude and the chick, and the dude died, and then they didn't win the Oscar, and that sucked.
Well, that about does her. Wraps are all up.
Made me laugh to beat the band.
I mean, you guys get mad because I keep wet wipes in my mailbox. I call that self-preservation.
Fiber pills and self-tanner. Who wants to party with me?
Thank God it's Friday.
Oh, bravo. That's one of the better ones of all time, man.
You guys are idiots.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, don't forget, man. You can join 92.9 The Game Atlanta Sport and Social Club and thousands of fans Saturday, March the 9th. That's tomorrow at Edgewood Avenue for the second annual Atlanta United Block Party. It's Atlanta's biggest open street celebration of all things Atlanta United. We'll be celebrating with giveaways, live entertainment, raffle prizes as we prep for the home first match of the season. Plus, local pubs are going to offer exclusive drink specials for Atlanta United fans during the event. Did I bring the kids there? Like a kid?
Bro, I have tears on my face right now.
Why?
The one about you never know how much a half an inch matters.
Well, you never know how much one tweet will set off Rick Kamla. Just wait till we get back, because he's about to blow a gasket like LeBron walked in here and dunked on him. That's next.
John and Hugh, morning 6 till 10.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.